Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have Ben Sopit, who is the CEO of Unify Money, one of the disruptors in the banking and brokerage space. Their value proposition is they offer a fair number of more services than the traditional banks like a Chase and the traditional brokerages like even the Robinhoods of today. But I don't want to get too far into this. Let's let Ben share. Ben, what is Unify Money?
Great. Yeah. Nice to meet you, Grant, and great to be on the show. Unify Money is a multi-asset investment and money management app. And we've designed it to really solve for the issue of fragmentation and friction in personal finance. So today we're in a very unusual situation in that the vast majority of younger investors have 10 to 15 apps to manage their money. And whilst fintech has done amazing things to bring access and value for money in many areas of financial management, it's actually made it harder, not easier, because of the fragmentation of apps. And it's the gaps between those apps that most people are losing an enormous amount of money. And we really wanted to solve for that and really lead the rebundling of financial services to bring simplicity and automation to money management.
So can you tell us how the average Unify Money user uses the app?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at your average mass affluent consumer, we're all committing three sins of money management. Firstly, we have generally too much money sitting in a deposit account, typically with a big brand bank earning next to no interest. Secondly, we have a credit card that doesn't maximize the returns on our spend. And thirdly, most of us are not dollar cost averaging. And if you add up the opportunity cost lost from those three sins, we calculated that the entire millennial generation is losing $20 trillion over their working life. So it's an extraordinary amount of money, but it's for any one individual person on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, it's a relatively small amount of money. But it adds up and it compounds. So what we really designed is a single platform which automatically captures those lost funds and puts them to work in a diversified, low-cost robo investment fund. So, for example, we have a high-yield checking account, which is a true DDA checking account with all the bells and whistles you would expect from a checking account, but it pays savings levels of interest. Secondly, we're launching a credit card that pays a high cashback in your choice of either gold, crypto, or equity investments. And we automatically take your deposit interest, your cashback, and your dividends and reinvest those into your robo fund. Now, we recognize, however, that many people want to actively invest at certain times. And so we also, in parallel, enable that. So we have commission-free trading of thousands of individual stocks and ETFs. We have over 37 cryptocurrencies, and we even have precious metals. So you can actually invest in physical metal. You can have it delivered or stored, depending on your personal preference. And we intend to expand that to other alternative assets over time.
And is that how users are using it? I know as you're adding new features, or is it primarily crypto traders or people? Is the value proposition actually being expressed in how users are using the app?
So we have two quite distinct types of users. We have users who come in, deposit a few thousand dollars, and then as they learn about the different tools and get comfortable with the platform, we see them increasingly, organically increasing their funds. We have various automation tools to pull funds from your existing bank account. So we don't expect people to give up their traditional bank account. You can automate money movement from your Wells Fargo or your B of A, whatever it might be, and then automate that into either your robo or crypto. And then we have other customers who come in with a lump sum, and they put that into either a self-directed or self-managed portfolio, or they put that into the robo, and they use it more as an investment platform on a standalone basis. And both models are fine. The important thing is we're helping people to effortlessly grow and manage their wealth.
So what gave you this idea? I know I checked out your background, you know, somewhat of a diverse tech and finance background, sort of that perfect, symbiotic experience to launch a fintech. But what gave you this idea? What got you into this business?
So it was very much my own personal experience of managing money and my frustration with having to sign up for a new app every time I was interested in a new service or a new asset class. And it struck me that the amount of time I was spending to manage different platforms and services, and frankly, the poor job I was doing it. You know, sometimes I would be energized to really sort it all out, and other times I would just let it coast. And I realized that despite my own background and my own interest in personal finance, I was doing a pretty poor job, despite the amount of energy and effort that I put into it. So if you extrapolate that to the wider population, the amount of friction in managing money is extraordinarily high. And we as human beings are not terribly well suited to managing money. You know, our cognitive biases are not built to manage complex finances. And it's really exploited quite significantly by the financial services industry. Now, there's a reason why credit cards and financial institutions provide big upfront bonuses. It's because they know that people focus on that. They don't focus on the long-term value creation. They know that we automatically discount because of our cognitive biases. We discount due to time. So a high value prize in 30 years is discounted for a low value prize that we get today. And there's plenty of these cognitive biases that just make us really, really bad at managing money. It's not a question of intelligence or organization. It's just we're not suited to systematically managing boring, complex, manual tasks on a sustained basis. And that's what managing money really takes. It's really not that exciting. For the majority of us, money should be pretty boring, and it requires quite a lot of manual labor. But we can use tech to take out the manual labor and do a far better job of managing our everyday saving, spending, and investing. So that was really the insight, is that technology is a much better governance for us than our own behavior and our own our own personal approach to personal finance. And it was looking to help people maximize their wealth creation with less effort, but also allowing the opportunity for them to get involved when they want.
So are you aiming to, you mentioned how, someone can keep their regular big bank. I also saw on your website how you view yourself as being able to potentially replace the big banks. Can you talk a little bit about just where you stand there? And are you a bank? Are you not a bank?
We're not a bank. We are a registered RIA with the SEC. We work with a bank partner called UMB, based in Kansas City, $26 billion publicly listed bank. We recognize that the top 10 banks are fundamentally not run for their consumers' benefit. I think it's very different. Right. Regional and community banks, I think, generally are. But over 80% of deposits are held by the top 10 banks, paying 0.01% interest. We recognize that there is a getting people to move bank is a massive ask. And it's not that people love their banks. Sure. It's because the thought and the inertia and the complexity of moving bank is really, really high. So what we put in place is automated tools so that you can keep your money or keep your salary in your big brand bank. And we recognize not everybody's going to want to move wholesale, particularly not to a new brand. So you can move your money, but not your bank. It's really looking at trying to find the path of least resistance for consumers, so that we're not, we're lowering the barrier for them to try new services and try alternatives. I think it's too big an ask at this point to ask people to give up a bank that they've probably been working with for 10 or so years. But we also recognize that you can keep that bank and move the money and still get all the benefits of optimally managing your wealth without having to submit to the poor value for money and, you know, regrettable service levels that the big brand banks offer.
So how does Unify Money make money?
So we take a small piece of each service that we offer. The benefit of being multi-asset is that we don't rely on a single stream of revenue, and it means we don't have to gouge customers for you know a single product. So the intent is to provide the best value for money that we can, whilst obviously being a sustainable, profitable business.
Are you worried at all with kind of the growth of the DeFi space, you know, which is consistently in the news now? Obviously, you have the ability to trade, you know, crypto within your platform, but, you know, all the talk in the past couple months is around decentralized finance and protocols and, you know, with the ultimate aim that somehow, you know, smart contracts can replace traditional finance and even the emerging fintechs, you know, like yourself. Do you have any thoughts on DeFi?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I think there's huge power there. It's not mature, and it's going to be decades until it is. I think there is a if you actually look at how the market evolves, the market evolves at extraordinary speed from a technical perspective. Mm-hmm. But consumers tend to be decades behind on adoption. And to an extent, that's right and proper because we're naturally conservative around our money, as we should be. I think it's fascinating and great that we as an industry continue to evolve at such speed. And you know, it's creating new opportunities, but the vast majority of consumers are decades away, I think, from you know, if you actually look at what consumers are doing, it's pretty much the same as they were doing 20 or 30 years ago. They may be doing it on a mobile phone, yeah. But you know, what we look for in a financial institution and how we treat our money really hasn't changed very much in many, many decades. And that's, you know, there's an important element of psychology in personal finance that I think we tend to forget in a very technically orientated world, is that ultimately money is about psychology, and there is as much to solve around the psychology of money as there is around the technology of it, if not more so.
Yeah, I love that answer. I think the technology is so far beyond, you know, a consumer sort of use case, but I think it's an interesting certainly problem to be solved. So I didn't know that you were actually an RIA. Can you talk a little bit about this sort of robo advisory product that you have in this AI robo advisory?
Yeah, definitely. So if you look at the history of robo and self-managed trading, they've really evolved independently of each other. And I think that's created a sense that these are somehow competitive strategies. So you have Robinhood on the one hand, and you have Betterment, Wealthfront, and M1 on the other. And they're very, very different. And they talk to a different value proposition and a different approach. But to my mind, they're incredibly complementary. You know, most people should be dollar cost averaging. It's an incredibly powerful strategy. But it takes an enormous amount of time and effort to do it manually. And again, technology is much, much better suited to set up a monthly contribution to a low-cost, highly diversified robo-advisor is a really, really good strategy for most people. And the earlier we do that and the longer we do it for, the better. But we also, you know, many of us want to actively trade at times. And again, you shouldn't need a separate app, a separate service to do that. So that's why we include both robo and active trading of both traditional and alternative assets in a single platform, because we recognize people want to do different things at different times. And these should be, these are complementary strategies, not competitive. So that's why we created the robo. And to run the robo, you need to be a registered RIA. So that's our, that's the regulatory framework in which we're working. But the strategy there and the concept is to really ensure that we can provide a very holistic solution to wealth management.
So how does AI factor in? What is Tengen AI?
So we work with a firm in New York called Tengen, who does much of the modeling. So they have the company was founded by two very experienced veterans, quant analysts, and they have an entire AI platform built around managing the portfolios that are regularly updated. And we work with them very closely to oversee the models and how the models, the outputs of the models. It's all machine learning, AI. We have an investment committee that reviews the outputs and makes adjustments as necessary. So it's really the best of both worlds. It's both the human oversight plus the very data rich, very technically deep analysis of the market, and that's how we're running our portfolio selection.
And then last question I had, I was curious about how you're working with banks and credit unions. Are you white labeling Unify Money for banks and credit unions so they can have access to these types of services, or what's that relationship look like?
Yeah, so this is the question was, how do we, we've created this great platform. How do we reach as many people as possible and to do so in a sustainable, profitable way? And
sure.
Acquiring consumers direct is an exceptionally costly and expensive exercise. And we were approached by a number of smaller financial institutions who wanted to provide their customers with access to digital wealth management solutions. And we've recently begun working with a few banks and a few technology providers, and it felt like a really good mutually beneficial arrangement in that we can provide access to our platform to a bank's consumers and provide a service that is greater than the sum of its parts. Regional and community banks have done an amazing job for decades, but particularly during COVID, and they provide great value for money. They provide great service, but they are challenged in how they compete with the big brand banks. They don't have the resources. And so we felt it was a really mutually beneficial relationship to actually enable regional and community banks and credit unions with digital wealth management services. And we could reach a much bigger audience through that channel quicker than we could necessarily direct. So it's a complementary strategy, one that we're very excited about, and we'll be making some announcements in the near future about some of those partnerships and relationships.
Hey, Ben, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, and congratulations on all the early success of Unify Money. I love what you're doing and love the story. Anything that we missed that you think that I should mention?
I think maybe one thing, the debit and credit card that we're using, we are focused on mass affluent consumers, and that's become something that has become associated with metal cards and these things. We've actually rejected that whole metal card phenomenon because it's indicative of the slightly irrational way that financial services are marketed to consumers, and we want to present ourselves as a very rational brand because we think that's what, you know, managing money should be, a rational, logical process. So we've actually rejected that whole sort of faux affluence metal card phenomenon. And instead, we are using recycled ocean-bound plastic for our debit and credit card.
Cool.
And we sponsor the Ocean Foundation. So each time they're used, we actually donate to the Ocean Foundation. So that's just it's a very small way in which we're trying to really change some of the relationship between financial services and consumers. And small, maybe insignificant, but it's just one of those things that we think is quite fun and indicative, I think, hopefully, of our difference in approach.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's such a cool idea. Actually, the shoes that I wear are made from recycled plastic bottles from the ocean. So certainly on brand there. This is Ben Sopit, CEO of Unify Money. Unify is UNIFIMoney.com. Check out the platform. Check out the app. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ben. And I look forward to seeing you evolve and staying in touch.
My pleasure. Thanks, Grant.